Wow. Do each of you have a favorite film?
Good question.
A single favorite film of all time. Is that the question? That's real. Yeah. That's an impossible question for me to answer.
Do the three of you each have a favorite film?
No, I'm going to say no.
I have 10.
Yeah, I can't.
I try to keep a list of 10. Osborne?
If I think of films that I go back to and watch over and over again, and will like pour through the special features and all the documentaries that go along with it, I'm going to have to go with The Lord of the Rings.
Really?
Yeah.
Only ever saw the first one.
Really?
Now, I don't know if I told this story or not, but I used to be a smoker and of cigarettes.
Yeah.
And Lord of the Rings was long. And I remember at the time, not really, I'd only ever read The Hobbit. I'd never read the other books. So I think when the first one came out, maybe in like 2001, I went to the theater to see it with my girlfriend at the time who didn't smoke and wasn't crazy about the fact that I smoked.
Mm.
So, I remember sitting there the whole time and being like, when is this going to be over? And I think that soured the whole experience for me, and I never saw the other two.
Huh.
So, I've actually only ever seen the first Lord of the Rings movie.
Now, when the Lord of the Rings movies came out, I lived in Northern Virginia, and we had a place called the Arlington Cinema Draft House, where you could go and eat food and drink beer and smoke while you watched the movie.
That sounds incredible.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can't smoke there now, but
my favorites, I would say, are pretty much probably the work of four directors. My top 10, I would say. I like Raging Bull.
Never seen it.
I would say that Raging Bull is one of my favorite movies. I would say that Goodfellas is on that list. Taxi Driver is not.
Mm-hmm.
Love Taxi Driver, but I wouldn't say it's top 10. The Departed, I thought was masterful.
It was a quite an excellent movie.
So that's three from Scorsese, right there. Are there any ones that I'm forgetting about? Nothing else that would be in my top 10.
Glengarry Glen Ross is another one I've seen many, many times.
Pacino's in that.
Yes. And Ed Harris. And Jack Lemmon. Alec Baldwin.
Walter Matthau?
Was not in it, no.
You're thinking of Grumpy Old Men.
Alan Arkin. Yeah.
Not that old.
He's pretty old.
I don't know. He's old to me.
Maybe 70.
Speaking of Alan Arkin, there's that movie that came out with Christopher Walken and Al Pacino and Alan Arkin.
Yeah.
Called,
I forget what it was called.
Stand Up Guys.
Stand Up Guys.
I read a review
and
of it.
It was never out in theaters here.
Really?
So I never got to see it. It very much bummed me out. I was looking forward to it.
I read one review of it, and the review said that Alan Arkin, Christopher Walken, and Al Pacino spend 2 hours doing impressions of themselves and ask you to pay for it.
And why not?
Which is what they do these days.
I would watch that.
We acted out a trailer for it here.
Yes, we did.
Which was bad.
It was pretty bad.
It's in the AV Club. You can go and see it there.
It's really hard for me to pick a favorite movie. My favorite movie will change from time to time, but if I had to pick one for all time, I would have to say Star Wars.
Mm.
Out of all movies I've ever seen, that probably had the biggest impact on my life and taste in general.
True. I haven't watched it in recent years, but I've probably seen that movie more than any other movie.
See, I watch movies a lot. I watch movies like most people listen to music. I'll just put on a movie and just watch it.
Sure.
I would put 2001 on my list as, I think, one of the greatest achievements in cinematic history. See, I'm interested in more the technical side of things, I think, which is why I'm drawn more towards these technical directors, these guys who know the craft of how to do things.
How do you feel about Wes Anderson?
Wes Anderson is very good. I don't know if I'd put Rushmore in my top 10. But it's definitely in my top 20.
My favorite of his is Royal Tenenbaums, like by a long shot.
My favorite of his is The Life Aquatic by miles and miles.
I couldn't deal with that movie at all.
Love that movie.
Wes, I think one of the influences those guys had on me, Scorsese, and I think it was probably Scorsese who influenced Wes Anderson, was the use of music in movies.
Mm-hmm.
How music is not like a character, but it can definitely tell a story. Scorsese was very, very good at this, probably the best, and I think Wes Anderson is probably the second best. there's other, like, what are some really good uses of music in movie? Like, memorable scenes where, like, the music was like, holy shit, that really came together.
Like, where they use, like, pop music? Like, the pre-existing songs?
No, like, not the score. Yeah. Right, like
when they use a pre-existing song.
So, like, Wes Anderson does.
Right. Or, like, Scorsese does, when they use Dropkick Murphys in The Departed.
Yeah, but, like, a certain certain combination of audio and visual.
The scene in Reservoir Dogs, with Stuck in the Middle with You, comes to mind.
Okay, that's definitely a juxtaposition.
Yeah.
Yeah. But one of my all-time favorites was in Goodfellas, when they play the piano exit from Layla,
mm-hmm.
when they're showing this massacre of the Robert De Niro character killing everyone, brutally murdering everyone who stood to make money from the Lufthansa heist, so he could keep it all for himself. That Irish bastard. He was Irish in the
movie. Right.
Royal Tenenbaums. Hey Jude with the bird. It was magical.
Mm-hmm.
It was a magical moment. I feel like there was one in Rushmore, but I can't remember what it was. Apocalypse Now. The beginning of Apocalypse Now.
Ride of the Valkyries, you mean? That
part, no, the end by The Doors.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever seen that?
No.
Do you remember that?
No.
The way that movie opens is just, like, so incredible. We should watch it after the show. Just the beginning. It'll make you want to see them. You've never seen the movie?
No.
Wow.
I'm big on war movies.
Yeah, Apocalypse Now is kind of something else.
Especially war movies written by John Milius. He's just got this very particular brand of, like, the best thing you could ever possibly do is die for a country that won't appreciate it.
I thought Joseph Conrad was... No, he wrote the book, right? He wrote The Heart of Darkness.
Yeah, John Milius. Yeah, that was the novel that inspired it. But John Milius was the screenwriter. He also wrote Red Dawn.
Does Tropic Thunder count as a war movie?
Yeah, it should. It's not a Vietnam movie if you don't have a Creedence song in the soundtrack.
Mm. That's true. I'm trying to think of a couple other examples.
Movies that are on my show. How about Dark City?
Dark City.
Are you a fan?
Good movie.
Very I don't think good. Other... Who's in it?
Rufus Sewell, Jennifer Connelly.
The main guy.
Kiefer Sutherland was in it.
Yeah, Kiefer Sutherland. The main guy, I've never seen him in anything else other than he had a TV series a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Where he played a creepy detective guy.
He's been in a lot of stuff.
Now, here's an interesting question. What was your favorite movie in 1992? Not from 1992.
What was my favorite movie?
But in 1992.
It was still Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. Mine was probably Karate Kid Part 2.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, my favorite movie, like, I
remember
I
liking
have
that, like, in 80.
All-time favorites, and I have movies that are, like, on my top five right now that I keep going back to recently. Like, The Avengers is way up on my list recently.
Hmm.
The best superhero movie ever made. Bar none.
I've got that on my Amazon wish list, and I refuse to buy it until the price dips below $30.
Friggin' great
movie. Yeah.
Freaking great. I have a 3D Blu-ray of it. I watch it periodically.
Do you have 3D TV?
I do.
How's that work out for you?
It's awesome.
I'm still need to get around to building my theater in my basement. I'm going to put a 3D projector down there.
In fact, 3D movies look better on my 3D TV than they do in a movie theater.
That's what they say. They say those active glasses are much
better. Well, I have I have passive glasses.
Do you really?
Yeah.
On a TV?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't even know you could get that.
Yeah, LG makes them.
Hmm.
And you could they use the exact same glasses that they use in the movie theater, so every time I go to a 3D movie with my friends, instead of recycling the glasses, I'm like, I'll take those. This giant pile of 3D glasses. So as many people as I want to have over, we could all watch a 3D movie.
Nice. So you're a thief.
No. They're asking me to recycle them.
They don't want those back.
It says recycle. Well, they do, actually.
They clean them and they put them back in use.
But it says, please put your glasses in this box. It doesn't say put these glasses in the box or
else. There is a social contract where you must put the...
Okay. I didn't sign any social contract.
All right.
It says on the box, please put your glasses back.
I will say I like...
And I say no, thank you.
The Real D glasses are far preferable to the IMAX ones.
Yes.
Where they just, I think they just hose them down and put them back on the rack.
Yeah, and they're still like warm and dripping.
They still have like, yeah, spooge all over them.
Ugh, not cool. I mean, you really need
the
to
real
have...
D glasses get recycled and get repackaged into plastic.
Yeah, they're like brand new every time you open them.
I just bring them home. Actually, I'm at the point now where I bring my own glasses to the movie theater because I have like clip-on ones that just clip onto my regular glasses. Nice.
Yeah, I would like to get a pair of
my favorite thing that I own.
Actually fit my head and like cover my entire field of vision. That would be awesome.
Corey, do you know who somebody named Pyrolupus would be?
That's Mickey.
Oh, okay. He said you can see in 3D, Corey.
Only in movies. I can't in real life. That's why I love 3D so much. That's why I bought a 3D TV.
So you have, can you explain that? Because we've never talked about this.
I have a condition called alternating esotropia, which causes my eyes to focus independently of each other. By now, I don't have stereo vision. I'm what they call stereo blind. My eyes each produce a separate image, and I see both of them. They beam two separate two-dimensional images to my brain instead of combining into one three-dimensional image. So I don't see real life in three dimensions. So the first time I went to see a 3D movie, we were going to see Coraline, which was like a stop motion movie. And Celestina says, do you mind if we go see the 3D version? I was like, I don't care. It makes no difference to me. I won't see it in 3D. And then 30 seconds into the movie, during the opening credits, a giant sewing needle comes out of the screen towards your face. And I almost dove behind my seat.
Wow.
Like I had no idea what was... I can't even describe what this experience was like. I was like, imagine being able to go and see a movie that suddenly allowed you to see the fifth dimension. And that's the closest I can come to describing it.
So do you not have any depth perception?
I have no depth perception.
Do you, like, run into shit all the time? Or?
No, I've gotten pretty good at judging distance by the size of things.
Huh.
You know? Like, I can judge the distance, like, from me to the car in front of me by, like, how much of the vertical image of the road I can see between us. But, and I've never actually rear-ended another car. Actually, I did once, but that was like right when I was learning to drive.
So how different does looking at real life and looking at like a television image seem?
Like a regular television image?
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't look different at all.
So life just, so it's not like you're seeing, it's not like you're seeing double vision.
I am.
Really?
Like I usually, like, just for the sake of overload, I have to ignore the input of one eye or the other.
Wow. You ever wear an eye patch?
No. Because I'm constantly going camera one, camera two, camera one, camera two, camera one, camera two, to make sure that I'm not missing anything.
That's really...
But for some reason, and I know that what I'm seeing is not genuine 3D, but the illusion... A stereoscopic 3D created by this 3D technique somehow tricks my brain into perceiving that third dimension, and it was wonderful. I can't even describe how cool it is. Mm-hmm. So, like, when people are always bitching about 3D and how much they hate it and they wish it would go away, I'm like, I hate you. I wish you would go away, because I want 3D to stay around forever, because it is amazing.
Yeah.
That's like, yeah, complaining to a blind person about there being too many colors or something.
Yeah.
Oh, that's shitty.
Like, right? Yeah, what an asshole.
Yeah.
Like telling a deaf person, boy, you're lucky to be deaf. This music is too loud. But even if you said that to them, it wouldn't matter.
I really liked tonight's show.
Now, good. Everybody knows about my 3D issues.
I think It's just hard to comprehend. It's hard to picture what that must be like.
Yeah.
But that was why I asked the question, like, how different is real life and television?
That's probably the best way anybody's ever asked me to clarify. Because a lot of times people ask me, what's that like? I'm like, I don't really know what it's like. I don't know what it's like to see in 3D all the time. But I keep watching 3D movies because there have been a number of cases where people with conditions similar to mine, like one guy who was stereo blind went and saw Hugo in 3D, the Martin Scorsese 3D film.
Yeah.
He went and saw that in 3D, and it cured his stereo blindness.
You're
like,
kidding
as soon
me.
As he walked out of the theater, he could see in three dimensions.
Whoa.
So do you think it could be, like, psychological? Like a brain thing? Not psychological, but...
Not exactly. It's something that can apparently be trained, but not everybody who's stereo blind is stereo blind for like the same reason.
Pump that needs to be primed? Something?
Well, the other thing is, what research indicates is that if you don't have at least a singular moment of stereoscopic vision in your infancy, it's too late. So I don't know if I did. I may never. I must have, because I wouldn't be able to see this illusion of 3D. Or maybe I would. I don't know. But there's a certain neural pathway that has to be set in infancy. If you don't develop stereoscopic vision, at least briefly, when you're an infant, you will never be able to develop it. Like, neuroplasticity that you lose makes it impossible to learn later.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's just a matter of muscle control, you know. Because if I'm tired and I'm watching a 3D movie, my eyes will just sort of drift off and I'll lose the effect. Sometimes I have to focus to make it happen. And I think if I just keep doing that, I might be able to make it happen all the time.
Wow.
It's kind of the opposite effect of when I, like, make my eyes go in different directions. Because I can do that. So it's sort of the opposite when I go like this.
Ooh. What does that do for your vision when you do that?
I really can't see anything reliably. It's just too weird.
So, all right. Well, do you want to go to the movies?
I actually can't.
Okay. I
got called home.
All right. That's probably better for me, I would say.
There isn't much to watch right now. Anyway.
There's actually a lot to watch. I don't know if we could get into any of it.
I just found out that Les Miserables was still playing.
Yeah.
So they do an earlier showing of that.
Lincoln was playing, only at 6:30.
Early sure.
Oz the Great and Powerful, they're doing preview shows tonight.
Yes, seemed like it was sold out. Said no passes available.
Well, no, it's brand new.
That just
not
means you can't use your free passes.
Sorry, no passes, I think is what it said.
Right.
Yeah, because it's not even actually released yet. They're doing a day before release thing.
That's got terrible reviews. I'm going to have to take my daughter to that anyway.
Got Mila Kunis in it.
Yes, it does.
That's true. But it was directed by Sam Raimi, and a lot of people are like, hey, Sam Raimi. But not every movie he's made is a winner. So it's a wait and see.
They're saying this is his poorest work to date.
Wow, and this is the guy who directed Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
But this is going to be like
a shitty movie.
This is going to be like new achievements in special effects, I think, this movie.
Could be. They spent $200 million on it.
That's what Titanic.
That's not even that much anymore.
That's not much. No. That's what Titanic cost 16 years ago. So.
And it was groundbreaking then.
But it's probably also getting cheaper to do more crazy stuff.
Yeah, so for the $200 million they spent on Titanic, they can create the entire Land of Oz.
Oh, you're probably getting $4 million in 1997 special effects, Dallas. So, all right, that's fine. That probably works better for me. I don't know what the weather's like anyway. And did I eat anything? Shit, I got to eat something, too. I'm going to stop at the supermarket, I think, on the way home.
I'm going to go to Market Basket and get some wings.
I think Market Basket's closed.
Son of a...
I'm going to just go to Shaw's. I'm going to get some blueberries, maybe some cheese, because I have some ground beef that I'm going to eat when I get home.
Right.
But I need to do something with it. I can't just eat ground beef out of a Tupperware. That's like...
I can.
What a madman would do.
Oftentimes, we'll throw some garlic chili paste on it.
Yeah, something like that. With some
chop sauce.
Some cheese. Oh, maybe. I don't know how that would be
would that
with
be
beef.
Hmm.
I don't know about mustard and beef. Mustard
I've
is very
done it.
Mustard is very good for pork
yeah.
and a chicken, you know, honey mustard chicken. So anyway, final. I really like the flow of the show tonight. I found this to be much more Joe Rogan, who's my new person to copy for this, not for the podcast, but for this particular event,
right?
Where we just have a free flowing conversation and. If our sound card is installed correctly in the computer, you can call, you know, share your thoughts, educate us. You know, let's get stuff that you know a lot about into the show. Keegan called. Many of you didn't know that because you couldn't hear it. He has a lot of knowledge, I think, about film and, you know, visual arts generally. We could not take his call.
I hope Mickey doesn't mind that I announced.
He announced it in the chat. I see it says his name.
Oh, okay.
Pyrolupus, did I say that right?
Yeah.
And then next to it, it says Mickey.
Okay, good. And I just suddenly realized after I said it, I was like, maybe he uses a fake screen name because he doesn't want people to know that it's him. All right, cool.
Let's see, anything else? I want to be able to see in 1D, James says. Just for a minute or two, not forever. He says, I cease to notice the 3D in movies after about 15 minutes.
I don't ever cease to notice it, personally. But yeah, I can see that. I can imagine what that might be like. But I'm glad I don't cease to notice it.
Hey, this is such a great chat. Thanks, everyone. I know it wasn't too many of you, but thanks for being active the whole show. That's really great. Really appreciate it.